What up, everybody? You're now tuned into the true definition of a sports fanatic. I'm your host, Brandon Lampley, and we're gonna get it in a little bit today. Some news coming out of both NBA and the NFL. So I don't really talk much NBA around this time because, you know, they're not even towards the midpoint of their season yet. It's still early. They're only about 23 to 24 games in. One thing I do know is that the Late Show with GOAT James is looking great. That's what I do know. But of course, speaking about the NBA, did you see Anthony Davis drop a 50 burger on the Minnesota Timberwolves? Dude, Anthony Davis is going to do that to just about every team in the league. Because, yeah, okay, I know the Clippers are good, but there's nobody on the Clippers that can stick Anthony Davis. It's not. Lakers have too much size for the Clippers, which is, I told you, the Lakers are winning title this year. You could bet on that. You could bet the house on that. Long as they stay healthy, and they're going through some injuries right now. I know Rondo, I think Rondo has a hammy. I think Avery Bradley had a fracture in his leg. He's questionable. Kyle Kuzma has an ankle, and he's going to be out the next game they play, so he won't play. And, you know, Anthony Davis is almost missed the glass. So hopefully you keep him healthy. That's why they got to continue to run up this record and get that number one seed. So towards the end of the stretch of the season, you don't have to play Anthony Davis those last, you know, 10 to 15 games and just let him rest up for the playoffs. Put him in some bubble wrap and put him in a Foot Locker or something so he doesn't get injured. But, man, you can make an argument that he's the offensive and defensive player of the year right now, Anthony Davis. Boy is on a tear right now. And, of course, LeBron James, all he's doing is leading the league in assists and being the dynamic playmaker that he was born to be. But enough about the Lake Show. I want to talk about the dysfunctional. Seems like dysfunctional state when it comes to sports almost. And that's New York. I told you, I laughed at New York earlier this year. Because the Giants are terrible. The Jets are terrible. Knicks are terrible. Now, Brooklyn is decent. They went to the playoffs last year. Brooklyn is decent. So I don't really want to lump them in there with this. But come on, guys. The Knicks are terrible. James Dolan needs to go. So the New York Knicks just fired David Fizdale on December 6th. And a year and about less than, yeah, about, it's not a year and a half. But 22 games into this season, they fired him. His overall record was 21-83 with the Knicks. And, yeah, of course, anybody could tell that that's not a good record. But I think that David Fizdale is a good coach. And the dysfunction that is the New York Knicks, that has been the New York Knicks for the last 20 years, he's just another victim, and he succumbed to the issues. I mean, you want to talk about a dysfunctional franchise. In a 20-year span that Dolan has been the Knicks' controlling owner, 12 coaches and 6 general managers, all gone. At a certain point, it's not the coaches, it's not the GMs, and it's not the players. It's the owner. It's always been the owner. He's always been an issue. I truly, truly believe if the New York Knicks did not have James Dolan as their owner, just say some no-name guy that nobody really knows. He doesn't speak that much. You know, nobody really knows him. Just say it could be that guy. Anybody but James Dolan. Kevin Durant would be a New York Knick right now, all day long. And with that, Kyrie Irving would be a Knick right now because he was going wherever KD was going. So you would have Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving right now if James Dolan was not the owner of the Knicks. And you probably most likely still have Kristaps Porzingis. And there's an outside chance, even before KD and Kyrie commits to them, that LeBron James gives New York a serious look. Because by all the reports I heard, is that LeBron James would have loved to have played in the Garden. He loves Madison Square Garden. He likes the market and the bright lights of New York. But because of James Dolan, you don't get any of them. Franchises like that ruins players, ruins coaches, ruins GMs. They have a promising young player right now in RJ Barrett. I really hope that that young man succeeds in spite of the organization that he had no choice in going to. James Dolan should just go ahead and sell the team, man. Go ahead and sell the team. Give it up. As long as he is the owner of the New York Knicks, they most likely will be always subpar. Now, eventually, they might get a superstar to come there or build up a playoff team here and there. But championship contender? Nope. You won't be able to attract the superstars because everybody sees the dysfunction. Nobody wants to go there. But, I can't forget, too, also, money does talk. And so as long as they're willing to pay a max contract, which I've heard that in negotiations with KD, they supposedly wanted him to take a pay cut, a lowballed him, or something like that. Which is even more funny. It's Kevin Durant. It's, sir, do you want to sign today or tomorrow? It's not, hey, man, we're a little short on cash, and we got you on the back end. We just need you to take a little less up front. No. It's not how you do business with the superstar. You wouldn't have done that to LeBron James. You wouldn't have done that with Kyrie Irving. James Dolan is a piece of work, man. Piece of work. But hey, that's New York sports at the moment, outside of maybe one or two teams. Oh, the Yankees are good, too. So I can't lump the Yankees in with this just mess. But anyway, switch topics. I'm going to go to the NFL. And I'm going to go ahead and get them out the way now because I really don't want to talk about them. My Jacksonville Jaguars. I don't want to hear no Duval chants. I don't want to see the mascot Jackson DeVille jumping off the lights. I don't want to see no press conferences from Tom Coughlin, Shad Khan, David Caldwell, Doug Marrone, nobody. I don't see no player interviews. I don't even want to watch the game Sunday. I don't. We have three games left. And I have zero confidence that we will not lose those games by 17-plus points. Zero confidence. This five-game losing streak we're currently on right now is historic. It is not historic in a good way. This is the worst losing streak because we lost five straight games by 17 or more points. So in the worst losing streaks since the 1986 Buccaneers. And if you don't know how bad the 1986 Buccaneers were, just Google them. In your spare time, in your cubicle at work, or you're in the bathroom sitting on the toilet, and you done played all your games up. Go on Google and Google the 1986 Buccaneers. We are awful. Now what's come out of this too is, you know, people, Jacksonville is just, fans are terrible, man. They're making all kind of memes, man. Actually, one of the memes I saw was for right now, for $75, you can get access to the field at the Jaguar games, and they'll let you call at least one play for $75. That's how bad they're trying to move those tickets. Another one I saw said that dude, he got pulled over by a JSO officer. That's the Jacksonville Sheriff's office here in. Another meme I saw, guy said he got pulled over by the police here in Jacksonville, and instead of writing him a ticket, he gave him two tickets to the Jaguars game. Dude, we are a joke, man. We are a joke. And is this team as bad as these five losses? Usually I want to say it's somewhere in the middle. We're not as good as we thought we were going to be, but we're not this bad. I would love to say that. But I'm leaning towards, man, we might be this bad. We might be just that bad. Dude, a team that was seemingly tanking the season, I wouldn't say losing on purpose or playing to lose, but the front office was tanking the season because they're moving all of their good players for draft capital. And that was the Dolphins, moving their star players, shipping them out. And these guys are playing competitive football right now. Jaguars are so lethargic, man. But I'm done talking about them. That's enough. Now we're going to move on and talk about the New England Patriots. Dude, one of my favorite Photoshops of the Patriots logo is that little Patriot head with the flag hat on. And he's holding a camcorder with one eye closed, looking through the camcorder. It's absolutely hilarious, man. And that's originally from Spygate. And now they're under investigation again. And because of past transgressions by the New England Patriots, right now they don't get the benefit of the doubt right now. Because you've been in trouble before. So right now the Patriots are in the middle of a videotaping scandal that supposedly, you know, broke NFL rules. Say when the team recorded the Cincinnati Bengals sideline from the press box Sunday. And of course the Patriots responded. They said in a statement that the footage was intended for a Patriots.com documentary on the life of an advanced scout, which is a position that entails viewing the team's upcoming opponents in person. The video team, which works for Patriots.com and not the football operation, accidentally filmed the field, likely as an effort to show what the advanced scout does, watch the opposing sideline and take notes, but the scout can only watch and not record that sideline. And NFL Executive Vice President Troy Vincent asked if there's a timetable on the Patriots investigation, and he said, "We want to take our time and make sure we have all the facts." So supposedly, from the information I've gathered during my research in this, is that they were on the Browns sideline while they were filming this advanced scout who was scouting the Cincinnati Bengals. And so the Browns knew about the heat because they got passes from the Browns, whatever, and they cleared everything with the Browns, and the Browns knew about what was going on, supposedly. I'm pretty sure the Browns might not have known about the filming. Or maybe they did, but from what it sounded like, the Browns knew about what was going on, knew about the filming. So it seems like everything might be legit. I'm pretty sure the Cincinnati Bengals didn't know anything about the filming. I'm pretty sure of that. But it seems innocent what they're doing and how they're filming for this documentary. The documentary was just called Do Your Job. But I kind of believe it. And then I kind of don't. Because I believe that they're innocent because you've already been through this. There's no possible way that you're going to put yourselves out there like that again and take a chance knowing that the penalty is going to be even more severe than the first one. Like, you didn't learn your lesson the first time, so now Roger Goodell is going to make an example out of you this time. Like, it's going to be really bad this time if you screw up. So that's why I could believe that it's innocent and they were just filming for the documentary. And then the reason I kind of don't believe it is because, hey, they did it before. past behavior is an indicator for future behavior. Yeah, people can change, but man, a lot of times when people get caught, they don't stop doing it. They just get better at hiding it, get better at doing it without you knowing. And I could totally see that with the Patriots, man. And you would think, as great as this organization has been, as many titles as they have won, as well coached as this team is, as great and legendary as Tom Brady is and is going to be, you should not have to do things like this. But everybody wants that competitive edge, don't they? And they'll do it to the detriment of themselves, friends, family, team, organization, league. People do it all the time. So for me, I don't know, man. I don't know. This is going to be a thorough investigation. They're going over this with a fine-tooth comb. You better believe it. I just hope it's not true, man. This organization, they're too good, they're too great for this, man. The only stain on their record is Spygate, Deflategate, and this. But hey, Bill Belichick said he don't know nothing about it. And of course, what is he supposed to say? Bill Belichick said the same thing about the deflated footballs. I don't know what you're talking about. I have no idea about it. And that was part of our non-football operations. It ain't got nothing to do with me. And I believe Bill Belichick when it comes to that, because it's for Patriots.com, and it's not part of the football operations, part of the Patriots. So that I do believe. Man, oh, and the other stain, of course, Mr. Robert Kraft. If you haven't listened to my Robert Kraft podcast, where I talk about him and his transgressions and being caught in the massage parlor, getting his freak on, go back and check that out. I think that's episode 4. It was a really good podcast. Now let's move on to other football topics. Let's talk about Odell Beckham Jr. And people, I told you again and again and again before the season started, when they were hyping up the Cleveland Browns, people went as far as calling them a dark horse Super Bowl team. You know, you got weapons here, weapons there, and they were supposed to be just this great team. But I said, this team is a tinderbox. This team is a lit fuse away from imploding. And if it didn't go well early, if they faced any type of adversity early on with a losing streak or bad play or in-house, you know, difference of opinion or fighting or issues, that it was going to go downhill. And exactly what I said has come to fruition. Now it's gotten so bad to the point where it's a report out there now that Odell Beckham Jr. is asking opponents to get him out of Cleveland. My man said he feel lost. Those lights ain't as bright as they were in New York, man. Them lights pretty dim. See, in New York, they got those French fry lights from Burger King, the ones that keep stuff hot. Them lights in Cleveland, damn, baby, and it's cold. Can't keep warm under the lights in Cleveland. It ain't hot enough. So supposedly, and this is disrespectful, he's been telling opposing players and coaches before, during, and after games to come get him. That's beyond disrespectful. See, you gotta be covert about the moves you make, man. You can't be all out there with it. Because this makes him look bad. This doesn't make it makes Cleveland look bad now because he wants to go. But it also makes him look bad. It makes him look like a baby. It kind of makes him look whiny. You know, it just makes him look like he's high maintenance, which I've heard he is. But he's a wide receiver, and that's what wide receivers are. They're divas. No matter how much the game has changed, that part of the game seems to have stayed the same. Wide receivers are divas, man. And now there are reports of him being interested and them having mutual interest in the San Francisco 49ers, which I think would be a good fit for him. I think Cali is a good fit for Odell Beckham Jr. Patriots might be a landing spot. I've heard that too. That could be a good spot. But one team I haven't heard floating around that I think would be a great team for him if he's able to get out of his situation in Cleveland, Baltimore Ravens. Yeah, Baltimore Ravens would be a good spot. Him and Hollywood Brown? Oh, man. That's just unfair. Lamar Jackson at quarterback and Hollywood Brown and OBJ at receiver. Mark Andrews at tight end. With the backfield of Justice Hill, Gus Edwards, and Mark Ingram. Ooh-wee. That's nasty. But, hey, if I'm Cleveland, I'm not moving off him. He'd be unhappy all he want to. You got a contract player, and you do whatever you want to do, twist a turn, do whatever. I'm keeping him until I have absolutely no choice but to move him. You stand your behind right here in Cleveland. And I'm sure him and Baker Mayfield aren't the best of friends, because you want to talk about Odell being high maintenance and being a diva. Baker Mayfield seems he seems annoying. He does. He seems annoying. Because you thumping your chest, shoulders big, chest out, and he's regressed. Now, supposedly supposed to be dealing with some injury or whatever, but I don't want to hear about that. You know why? I've said it before. When you're on the field, you're healthy. Period. Doesn't matter what percentage your body is at as far as health. You on the field, you playing, he's healthy. So there are no excuses. Can't pay my bills with excuses, dog. Now on to a few of the games that, I watched from Sunday, or some of the highlights that piqued my interest. One of the games I watched pretty much from start to finish was the Ravens versus the Bills. And watching that game, I watched the Bills. I think I've seen about two or three Bills games this year. I've seen a few Ravens games. And Ravens is the best team in the league, hands down. There's no debate about that. And Lamar Jackson is dealing with a quad injury. He's questionable to play Thursday night football coming up. But he's expected to play. And the ending score was 24-17. But watching the Bills a couple of times, it's very clear that they are 9-4 because of defense, special teams, and the running ability of Josh Allen. Because throwing the football, man, when they made him sit in the pocket and try to make throws from the pocket downfield, he's atrocious. I think his percentage of passes 20-plus yards down the field is 23% on the season. And I'm willing to bet that he's well below the league average at that percentage. So at times he'll flash, but I told you, I said this, Josh Allen is going to be just good enough to waste this defense for the Bills. This defense is going to get old. And so in about two to three years, when this defense starts his decline, Josh Allen will still be there, and they'll still be mediocre. And then once this defense isn't as good as it once was, and things around him start to decline, you'll really see Josh Allen for what he really is. He's a big, strong-armed, mobile quarterback that doesn't have accuracy. That's what he is. And as the team decays around him, you'll really, really start to see it. One game that I couldn't believe, man, is the Denver Broncos blew the Texans out. Ending score was 38-24, but that is not indicative of the game that was played. It's not, because they were blowing them out. A lot of those are garbage time points. I did not expect the Broncos, I think with the third or fourth string quarterback, to blow the Texans out like that. From time to time, it's crazy because from time to time, Bill O'Brien gets out-coached, man. He does. He gets out-coached because there's no way a Deshaun Watson-led team should get beat down, just bludgeoned and bloodied. Another game that I wish I saw live, man, I saw the highlights, and it was just a back and forth, was the 49ers and the Saints. Final score was 48-46. Man, they were going back and forth. I think the fourth quarter alone was three or four lead changes. Now, I think in the final 2 to 3 minutes of the game was three or four lead changes. Just, they say it's a candidate for game of the year. It's reminiscent of the Chiefs and the Rams last year. I think it was Monday Night Football, where the ending score was like 54-51. It was a scoring fest. And of course, I watched the Patriots versus the Chiefs, and they took two touchdowns from the Patriots. I'm not too broke up about it because I watched them get the benefit of the doubt and just get just generous calls in New England. And they didn't get him Sunday, which was shocking. But a touchdown by N'Keal Harry, where he was clearly not out of bounds, but because they ruled him out of bounds and the Patriots had no challenges, they ruled it not it's not a touchdown because they ruled him out of bounds. They didn't review it as a scoring play because they said he was out of bounds before he scored. So you got to figure out how to remedy that, because it was clear as day on that replay. He did not go out of bounds. And then another play is when Travis Kelce got hit and he fumbled. Stephon Gilmore picks up the fumble and he's off to the races and they're blowing the whistle. And that's been an issue in the multitude of games over the last 3 years. Stop blowing the whistle. It happened to the Rams and I think it was the Saints early this year, where Jared Goff fumbled, Cam Jordan picks it up, and he's about to be 80 yards to the house, but they blow the whistle. Then they review it, find out that, yeah, it was a fumble, and now the touchdown, you have no touchdown. Touchdown's off the board because the whistle was blown. Stop blowing the whistle. Let the play all the way through, because you can always go back and review it, especially if the defense picks the ball up and runs and scores with it. All scoring plays are reviewable. Let them score, then review it. Everybody wins in that scenario, because if it's not a touchdown and it wasn't a fumble, it goes back to this original spot. If it was a fumble, the defense has a defensive touchdown. It's simple as that. But that's above my pay grade. Oh, man, I also watched the Seahawks versus the Rams on Sunday night. I did not expect the Rams to beat the Seahawks down. Final score was 28-12, but once again, it was not indicative of the game. Seahawks were held, the offense was held without a touchdown. They did have a defensive touchdown, but the Seahawks offense didn't score a touchdown. They scored 6 points against that Rams defense, led by Aaron Donald and my guy, Jalen Ramsey. Jalen Ramsey has changed the face of that defense. You can see his impact and his imprint all over that defense. It's the same swagger that the Jaguars secondary used to play with. But I'm not going to talk too much about that, because then I'll get sad. And the final game was the Monday Nighter. Big thank you to Carson Wentz. Thank you, sir. Mr. Wentzylvania himself. Mr. Walk It To Him himself. Won me my fantasy football game, bringing my record to 7-7. Now, you might laugh because I said my record is at 7-7. Hey, man, I was 0-3 to start the season. And the reason I was 0-3 is because I wasn't setting my lineup. I wasn't paying attention to it, and I really didn't care, and I wasn't setting my lineup. And so I started to set my lineup week 4 and, you know, get stuff going. I think I had a winning streak of like 3 or 4 games in a row. And now we're at 7-7, and this was the last week right before the playoff. And I needed to win to get into the playoff. And Carson Wentz won me my game so I can get into the playoffs. And plus, I'm the highest scoring person in my league. Yeah, I'm 7-7. It's people with better records, but nobody has scored more points than me. And that's because I haven't set my lineups that I'm at 7-7. But back to the Giants and the Eagles, I was sweating Monday night because through the first 3 quarters or so, Carson Wentz was playing like butt. He was terrible. I was like, they are really about to let the New York Giants, led by Eli Manning, who's 58 and is probably on oxygen, beat them in the rain at home. Look, Carson and that offense woke up, threw 2 touchdowns to Zach Ertz, won the game winner in overtime, and won me my league. You all right with me, Carson? No matter what nobody else say about you, you all right with me? Because they had three active wide receivers Monday night. 3. And they had 7 active corners. I don't know why they went into that game plan with that, because one of your receivers is Alshon Jeffrey, and Alshon Jeffrey stays hurt. So, first of all, I'm not banking a whole game of Alshon Jeffrey staying available and only carrying 3 wide receivers on the active roster. Well, activating them for the game. I'm not. Then you had 7 corners active, which I understand why you had so many corners active, because the corners were playing like crap. They let Eli Manning and a rookie burn them twice. And one on the flea flicker, the other on a stop and go. Come on, man. Terrible. Well, yo, Carson Wentz out there with only 2 receivers, an O-line that's missing some pieces, so he was getting pressured. Your running game is iffy at best. Miles Sanders is okay. And I think Jordan Howard was out. He didn't play. And I can't even remember the wide receiver's name, the other one that they had active. They had never even heard of him. Dude caught a sweet pass over the shoulder. And I was like, yo, who is that? I had to look him up. So that's what Carson Wentz has to work with. And it'll be something if he wheels this team to an NFC East title and make the playoffs. All right, moving on to college football. And the college football playoff has been set. I watched LSU destroy Georgia Saturday, as I told you they would. Ohio State struggled with Wisconsin early, but they eventually pulled away. Clemson destroyed Virginia, like I knew they would. Oklahoma beat Baylor, like I knew they would. So now your college football playoff is set. LSU number 1, Ohio State 2, Clemson 3, Oklahoma 4. So LSU and Oklahoma plays, Ohio State and Clemson plays. Now, the interesting matchup to me is going to be, it should be Clemson and Ohio State. That should be the interesting matchup. Seemingly 2 evenly matched teams, both very good on both sides of the ball. But that's going to be a good game. But the interesting matchup to me is Oklahoma and LSU. Because originally, my initial thought was, LSU should destroy Oklahoma because Oklahoma's defense is not good. But I can't discount Jalen Hurts, Oklahoma's quarterback. I think he's going to give LSU's defense problems. I really, really do. He's going to give them issues. So I think that LSU-Oklahoma game is going to be a little closer than people think. But I think LSU eventually will pull it out. I think LSU over Oklahoma. Clemson over Ohio State. And I don't know. I'm going to reserve my pick of LSU Clemson. I'm going to see how this first, these first two games play out, LSU Oklahoma and Ohio State Clemson, before I pick that. Because I think it's going to be LSU Clemson for the title. But, man, I'm on the fence. Because I want to say Clemson. And for them to complete a two-year period of just dominance, absolute dominance, Trevor Lawrence would start his collegiate career 30-0 with two national titles. Only thing he'll be missing is a Heisman. And really, if Clemson wins another title and go 30-0 in 2 years, Trevor Lawrence, take your Clemson stuff off, walk off the field, and prepare for the NFL draft. Now, he won't be eligible until after his junior year, but there's no reason for him to suit up for Clemson another game. Really, you could make the argument he don't need to suit up right now. Because I think barring a just atrocious junior year, he's the number one pick of the 2021 NFL draft. Hands down. But I'm going to wait until these first two games are played before I make my pick. And yeah, I know we lost to Auburn and LSU, but there's no way that you should have Alabama at 13. No freaking way. Georgia's not better than Alabama. Oregon's not better than Alabama. Baylor's not. Wisconsin's not. Florida's not. Penn State's not. Utah's not. Now, they got Auburn at 12 right above them. Auburn beat us. I got no problem with that. But all those teams are not better. But I guess I'm a homer. But it is what it is, man. Oh, can't forget before I go. Saw a report today of Florida Atlantic University got better today. They finalizing an agreement to hire Willie Taggart, former Florida State coach. Now, I know Willie Taggart's time at Florida State was less than stellar. He went 9-12 at Florida State. And a lot of, man, it looked bad a lot of times, man. It really did. I don't think that's all on Willie. He bears the brunt of it because he's the head coach and he's easily the scapegoat. But I think Taggart is a great coach, and it's going to show at Florida Atlantic. I think I already told you my opinion about it. I think that Florida State moved off of him too soon. But I'm glad to see he's landed on his feet, because too often you see some of these coaches who land on their feet, they seemingly fail upwards. I mean, look at Lane Kiffin right now. Lane Kiffin has had 5 head coaching jobs and a professional head coaching job. And he continues to get job after job after job. So kudos to Willie Taggart for landing on his feet. But ladies and gentlemen, that is my time. Once again, you know all my sites, from CastBox to Google Play, Spotify, Anchor, Radio Public, Breaker, a few of them on YouTube. Make sure you like, share, and subscribe. Find me on my Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Follow me on all of my social media. And also, when you follow me on all the social media, you'll see some of the other things that I have in the works, things that are outside of, you know, the sports arena. So I dabble in other things as well. So go to my social media pages, check those things out. Right now, it's only on, well, Facebook and Instagram. So go follow me there, check those things out. But until next time, I'll talk to you guys later. Peace.